When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Rise and shine, football fans. Start your day the right way with Morning Footy, a podcast that covers every aspect of the global game. Headlines, match previews, analysis, interviews, culture, fashion, and plenty of banter. Join as we track the thrills and spills of Europe's biggest title races, the business end of the Champions League season, a summer packed with international competitions, MLS, NWSL, and much more. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
All right, everybody, you're listening to Late Show Pod Show. My name's Becca. I'm an associate producer here at The Late Show, and I'm here with Steven. Hi, Steven.
Hi, Becca. Good to see you. I always enjoy these. This is a nice little break in the middle of the day to come down here, and this quiet little, there's a little room within a room. It's quiet and padded, and, you know, we could probably turn off the lights. You want to kill that light?
Let's kill the light.
Oh, now is nap
That's
time.
That's nice. Yeah, we got to get some, like, a little salt candle or something out here. Make it nice and studio zony.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great.
Mm-hmm. Just a little alpha wave music.
Yeah.
Like we're in the waiting room for a massage. This is nice.
Yeah, this is really nice. All right, so today on the podcast, I want to talk about something great that we did last week as a whole staff. We went outside. We took a break. Speaking of taking breaks in the middle of the day, we went on the street to see the eclipse.
I was so excited.
Yeah.
I was so excited. It was so nice to go outside, and we all had to cram together really tightly because, of course, you're in New York, and the eclipse is being blocked by skyscrapers.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to find little breaks in the canyon where you could actually see the sun. And it was all, we were all huddled together like ducklings. And I don't know how to describe it. We did seem like animals being herded into a little pen. I liked
it. Yeah, yeah. And my favorite part was we had moved the production schedule around so there'd be room for us to go outside and do it. But things were running a little bit late. And Tom Purcell, our executive producer, had to sort of stop rehearsal after you finished rehearsing the monologue. And he sort of leaned over to you and I heard him say, like, people are worried we're going to miss the eclipse. Can we all go outside for a second? And you just kind of said, okay, like, okay, we can go. Like, it's like the toddlers want to go to recess, you know? But then we all got to see it. And it was really nice. It's really nice.
Yeah.
People from the Broadway production across the street came out and joined us, and people were sharing glasses.
Right, what is across the street right now?
I think it's the Great Gatsby.
There it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For sure. Have you ever seen a total eclipse?
No, I would love to, though. I really want to.
I've been to a total eclipse, and the 2017 eclipse went right over our house.
Awesome.
In South Carolina.
Yeah.
Amazing. The moment when the moon actually covers the sun, the moon, that spot of the moon is just as dark as anything you could imagine. It's darker than the darkest dark. And then these cotton candies of filaments, like all these solar prominences in the corona, just flying off like wisps of sort of electric silver all around it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The birds stop chirping, bugs
they
stop.
Actually,
yeah.
They actually, the birds start flying because they're going home for sunset.
Oh,
the birds,
wow,
like
yeah.
Birds all started moving.
Wow.
Started heading home.
Yeah.
Because, oh, God. Because in every direction, the thing about it is that it looks like sunset.
Mm-hmm.
But in every direction.
Wow. Yeah. No, it's one of those things that, like, I need to see the Northern Lights once.
Sure.
Need to see totality. Yeah.
Northern Lights, great. That once.
Where did you
in
see
Iceland.
Him? Oh,
in Iceland.
Cool.
I was up there for a week or 10 days with the family in 2000 and meow meow, 19 maybe.
Yeah.
And it was solid sheet cloud cover for every day except the last day.
Oh. Wow.
And the last day, because they kept on saying to us, it's up there. You just can't see it. It's up there. Like, there's huge what's going on right now. And the last night, we were staying on this farm, and the farmer who owned it, he said, like, get in the hot tub. Don't go to bed. It'll come.
Mm.
And sure enough, 1 o'clock in the morning, we'd given up.
Yeah.
We did give up.
Yeah.
And then at 1 o'clock in the morning, we're knocking on each other's doors going, get up!
Oh, amazing. Yeah. No, the next eclipse, next totality is, hello.
Did somebody knock?
It was just a sound effect.
We've summoned our audio engineer by mistake. Thank you so much, Brian, for coming in. he's fine. He's safe. He's not asking to get released. Yeah, no, that's amazing. I'm trying to go 2026. There's a totality in Iceland.
No.
Two birds, one stone.
Sure. Yeah. Just raking up the western coast of Iceland.
Yeah.
So right, go right over Reykjavik.
Yeah, yeah.
Be great.
No, it'd be great. But tonight on the podcast, we have someone who's no stranger to the stars. We have an extended interview with Mr. Neil deGrasse Tyson.
The greatest.
Yeah, this is his interview from 2022 when he was on promoting his book Starry Messenger, Cosmic Perspectives on Civilization. Mm-hmm. And something like a, you know, something like a solar eclipse that disrupts everybody's workday for a second, and there's this moment of universal, oh, look in the sky and think about it for a second. It's so beautiful, and it's something I think Neil does a really good job of talking about with you, and I know you guys enjoy hanging out.
Yeah. His passion is incendiary.
Yeah.
He just can't help but catch fire.
Yeah.
And he starts explaining the mystery and romance of science.
Yeah, yeah, and this is him talking about the newly enacted Webb Telescope with you, which we extended for the podcast. So you're going to be hearing bonus explanations of very complicated science put in the words of a really, you know, he's really good at making things accessible for the populations. But he's going to be talking about the Webb Telescope and the starry skies. So please enjoy Mr. Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Ladies and gentlemen, my first guest tonight is a renowned astrophysicist who has just written a new book called Starry Messenger, Cosmic Perspectives on Civilization. Please welcome back to The Late Show, Neil deGrasse Tyson. Come on, come on. Neil, my friend, it's good to see you again.
Wait, there was one section that didn't give me a standing ovation right there. I don't know what happened.
We'll get them later.
We'll get them later.
We'll use some digital rendering to make them stand. There's always so much to talk with you about, my friend. You were last here in April.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Check
right.
your calendar.
Yeah.
You're in April. Since then, we talked about the Webb Telescope going out there, but since then, the Webb Telescope is out there. It's unfolded. It's giving us new glimpses of the universe.
Oh yeah.
This is the successor to the Hubble Telescope, which itself was incredibly impressive and important. What do you make of the new telescope so far?
It's all that.
And a bag of chips.
By the way, you casually said it unfolded. Many people don't realize this telescope is way bigger than the fairing that launched it on the rocket.
And a fairing is the encasement.
It's the encasement. And so the engineers said, let's figure out how to fold the telescope, stick it in the fairing, and then unfold it a million miles out where it's parked. And so that's what happened.
It kind of looks like a flower. It even has a stamen.
that would be the secondary.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
We were shocked for it having met the specs, because there were so many ways that could have failed, that when it met what it was designed to do, we were all shocked and delightfully
shocked. There were hundreds
of
single point failures.
Yes.
Like, this thing goes wrong, the whole thing fails.
Yeah, yeah. So we were delighted, and it did exactly what we expected it to do. So it looked at to the edge of the universe, finding galaxies being born, and you could, because it's infrared, it peers through nearby gas clouds. Stars are made of gas. They're made from gas clouds. So when you peer in, you see the stellar nursery that lurks within. And what?
You sound like you're doing the voiceover for like a trailer for a movie. The stellar nursery that lurks within.
In a world.
Right, exactly. Right, right. Is that what we're looking at
yes,
here?
Yes, oh, that's it.
So
yes, yes.
What is this?
Yes, now I want to look at it. Right, so. Sorry.
That's
sorry.
All right. That's all
TV.
Right. They don't deserve
it's
it.
It's TV.
Exactly.
So you can look
it up there. Thank you.
The Carina Nebula. So this is a gas cloud. Deep within is forming brand new stars. It's a stellar nursery. And it's forming not only stars, but planets in orbit around them. Exoplanets. And so we now have more than 5,000 exoplanets in the catalog. And this telescope is going to be among its many abilities, it'll be able to measure the chemistry of the atmosphere of exoplanets that pass in front of their host star.
How's it do that?
How's it do it? Okay, well, you find a planet that does eclipse its host star.
So it comes between us,
and then the light from the host star comes through the atmosphere to us. And that atmosphere leaves its fingerprint on the spectrum of that light. And so you can see, does it have methane and oxygen and nitrogen and other things? And we have a list of molecules that are we call them biomarkers. And if you see that molecule in the atmosphere, you better check the surface, because something down there is making it, okay? Something such as life. So oxygen on Earth would not be stable were it not for plant life continually generating it.
So if we see a lot of oxygen...
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
We're going there first.
So this is gonna... How will this improve or in any way change our model of exoplanets?
No, so here's the way to think about it, okay? If you came up to a house and had a lawn and your vision was not all that good, you say, oh, there's a green carpet, all right, surrounding it. And that's accurate. But if you have better vision, more resolution, you say, wait a minute, there are blades of grass there. So this is an extra detail deeper than what you had first thought. It doesn't change your view, it adds to it. Not every scientific discovery changes what we thought before. It's accretive, so that the growth of our knowledge... Now, here's a problem. As the area of our knowledge grows, so too does the perimeter of our ignorance. Just saying. Just saying.
Do you stay up late at night and go, perimeter of our ignorance, and you write that down? I'm using that. I'm using that someday soon.
No, I'm feeling it. When you feel it, the words just...
You're flowing. You're flowing.
The words just pour down.
You're spitting science is what you're doing. Hey, I want to ask, he's talking about wordsmith. JFK said a little over 60 years ago, we're going to go to the moon and do these other things, not because they're easy, because they're hard.
Yeah.
And we went to the moon by the end of the decade, and we went there for 3 years. In 72, we went, okay, we're done going there with Apollo 17. Why haven't we been back, Neil Tyson?
Because you didn't quote the part of his speech in May 1962 where Yuri Gagarin had just come out of orbit.
Yeah.
Yuri Gagarin, the evil, godless communist Russians, right?
Sure, sure.
Okay. He just came out of orbit, and we didn't have a spaceship that wouldn't blow up on the launch pad that would be rated enough to carry people. So they called a joint session of Congress, and he addressed them. And there's a whole paragraph there. It said, if the events of recent weeks, he couldn't even utter the man's name.
Wow.
The events of recent weeks are any indication of the impact of this adventure on the minds of men everywhere. Then we need to show the world the path of freedom over the path of tyranny. Then he said, let's go to the moon. Okay?
It was specifically a political response.
He guaranteed that they were going to write the checks. But we don't remember that part because we want better memories of our motivations.
So do we need to be in a fight with somebody?
I don't want to say that would help, but that would help. Yes.
Let's talk about the Artemis mission then, because Artemis is supposed to be up there. They were supposed to send a female crew in 2024, correct?
By the way, Artemis is the twin sister of Apollo. By the way,
I dig it, Daddy-O.
You're all in.
Okay, now they've tried to launch twice and they've had a little bit of trouble with the mission that was supposed to go up there. Basically,
We haven't done that in 50 years. Give them a break. Let them have a couple of delayed launches.
Do you know what the problem was with the delay?
Yeah, it could be any. No, I mean, yes, I read it, but it doesn't matter.
You're not going to tell me what it is.
No, what I'm saying is, we're returning to the moon, and I'd like to see us continue on to Mars, but the motivation has to be there. Otherwise, we're just not going to do it. What's the motivation? Either you can make a buck, or there's a geopolitical purpose for doing it. And what might that be? Oh, China said they might put astronauts on the moon. Oh, my gosh. So all of a sudden, we say that's the next thing we must do. Okay? So here's what I want China to do.
I just wanted to know what was wrong with the rocket.
Okay, no.
Here's what I want. Strike a nerve here. I'm sorry, man.
I want the Chinese to leak a memo. Doesn't even have to be true. Leak a memo that says they want to put military bases on Mars. We'll be in Mars in 10 months, okay? 1 month to design, fund, and build the spaceship, and the 9 months to get there. Or maybe Elon's got one in his garage, okay?
But Mars probably is
already red. That'd be an easy sell in China. Just think about that, to market that.
I'm on board.
So
was there a hydrogen leak? Why didn't the rocket go off? That's all I wanted to know. What was wrong with
the something with the fuel.
Something with the fuel. Okay, mm-hmm. Sure. You don't know.
It's hydrogen fuel. By the way, if you have hydrogen and oxygen and you bring them together, it's highly exothermic. So a lot of energy gets created. And you know what the waste product is?
Water.
Water, yes.
That's right.
Yes, yes.
I'm a big
indeed.
Fan of two hydrogen, one oxygen.
Yeah, as is everyone. Yes.
Especially if I put a little bourbon in there. We have to take a quick break. If you'll stay there and you stay there, we'll be right back with more Neil deGrasse Tyson, everybody. Stick around.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God. This is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings early and ad-free starting May 1st with a 48 Hours Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts.
Hey, everybody, we're back here with Neil deGrasse Tyson. I've heard about this book from you for a while now.
Thank you. It's been
I
brewing.
Know it's important to you. Yeah. It's called Starry Messenger, Cosmic Perspectives on Civilization. What is a cosmic perspective, Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Oh, it changes you. It's what the world and all your problems and all your issues and what everybody's arguing about, it's what that looks like when you ascend and look back on Earth. And think about it. When we went to the moon, forget the geopolitics of it. Yes, we went to the moon to explore the moon, and we looked back over our shoulders, and we discovered Earth for the first time. And there was Earth in all its majesty, without the color-coded countries that we were trained on in elementary school so that you know who your friends are and who your enemies are. Think of how inculcating that is in an educational trajectory. So here you are, there's Earth, as only nature intends you to see it, with oceans and land, clouds. That changes you. And in fact, but by the way, we went there in 1969, stopped going in 72. You know what happened over those 3 years? We created the Environmental Protection Agency, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA. The first Earth Day was all of that happened in that three-year period. There was a firmware upgrade.
In our perception?
There was a firmware upgrade in our perception of Earth as a holistic entity that we have to protect.
We have to take a little break here, but when we come back, I will ask Neil how one might acquire a cosmic perspective. Everybody, we're back here with the author of Starry Messenger, Cosmic Perspectives on Civilization, Neil deGrasse Tyson. I want the cosmic perspective. Not all of us can go to space. Can I get it just sitting in traffic?
No. No.
So, how do I get it, Neil,
here's what
other
do.
Than buying okay. Starry Messenger?
This is the only way to get
this
the cosmic. No. So
give me a quick cosmic perspective.
I will not put you top of the list. I'll put all the warring leaders of the world. Get Elon to build a space bus, okay? By the way, no, it sounds weird, but there's already like an Airbus
sure.
company,
yeah.
right? It's not a romantic term, but let's keep going. Space bus. Elon, build us a space bus. We fly all the warring factions of the UN into space and have them look down on Earth and all the national borders dissolve. And that... They'll realize how small and fragile we are here on Earth and what we have to protect. And by the way, all of our arguments, things that you were deeply dug into and you think you've thought them through, they will often crumble under rational analysis flavored by a cosmic perspective. Can I just give you a quick example? I'll be quick.
I hope you will.
Okay.
And you don't have to be quick.
Okay, no, okay.
The more you talk, the less I work.
Okay. No, there are thoughts we have. For example, if let's say you're a vegetarian. Well, there's a chapter here called Meat Eaters and Vegetarians. Yeah, I went there. So there's people say, I don't want to kill animals. I I don't have a problem with that. They probably have a humane mouse trap in their basement. Mm-hmm. They don't want to snap the neck of the mouse. So they capture the mouse. You got to check on it every couple of days because they dry out real quick. So there it is, and they set it loose into the wild, where they have guaranteed it will be swallowed whole by an owl or picked apart by all manner of woodland predators. The average life expectancy of a mouse in the wild is 9 to 18 months. So the best thing you can do with a mouse is leave it in your basement. It'll live up to 6 years there. That's how you protect the life. But that's not what they're doing. Meanwhile, the house is made of wood from 50 trees with floorboards and 2x4s and structural members and trees. Each tree every day produces 15 times the mass of the mouse in oxygen. And the tree is home to birds and insects and fungus and squirrels. Who do you think nature cares more about? Your mouse or the tree? And you'll say, well, the mouse has a beating heart. Tree doesn't. Maybe the tree doesn't need a beating heart. That's your criterion for what's important? If you cut a tree, does it not bleed? If you cloak a tree, does it not suffocate? If you cut off its nutrients, does it not wither and die? And some trees live 1,000 years. The giant sequoias in the Pacific Northwest. Oh, but you're gonna cut them all down, build your house, and save a 1-ounce chubby mouse.
Wow.
I got one more. Can I? Sorry.
So what I'm hearing, I want to hear one more, but what I'm hearing so far is either save all of them or save nothing. I can't quite tell.
No, I'm not here to give you your opinions. I'm here to make sure whatever opinion you do have is more fully informed than it probably was to begin with.
Je comprends.
Okay.
Okay, so your other example, please.
Another quick example.
Again, this is all can be found in Starry Messenger.
Yes, yeah.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
The next best thing to going into space.
Exactly.
Is you read
okay.
this book. Okay. So I often introduce aliens because they don't have any preconceived notion of who and what we are, and we get a sense of what they might say. Okay,
sure.
So I imagine...
Theoretical aliens.
Yeah, exactly, theoretical aliens. I can't divulge other... So imagine photosynthesizing sentient aliens, okay? So they're basically sentient plants.
Okay.
And so they're in a spaceship, and they saw that Earth has a good biodiversity of plants, and it's on their tour book. They got rainforests and things, so they come to visit. And then they meet vegetarians who expressly eat plants, and they'll freak out. And it's not just plants. They notice that vegetarians target the reproductive organs of plants, the flowers, the berries, the nuts, all of the things. The plant's just trying to make another version of itself. Nope, let's eat it. In fact, last night I had zucchini blossoms for dinner, okay? The zucchini's just trying to make another zucchini. But no, I ate it. And now, imagine the aliens. They go check in on Whole Foods, and they see people shopping in the produce aisle, and then they notice these same vegetarians, they're into infanticide. Because they're selecting baby carrots, baby spinach, baby artichokes, baby arugula, baby everything. And these aliens, they say, what the hell's going on here? What? And then they run back.
They attack us? Is that where this movie is going? They eventually attack us?
No. But it offers cosmic perspectives, it's another way to think about what it is you do. So you might feel more strongly about what you do or less, mm-hmm. but it's another way to look at how you have formulated what it is you think and do, and who you're going to argue with, especially at Thanksgiving.
To come up with that idea of the sentient plants, did you smoke any baby plants?
No. Oh, by the way, did you know E.T. was a sentient plant, not an animal?
E.T.'s a plant?
Yes.
Turn on your heart light. He's got a heart.
Okay, so they gave it a heart just so you can relate to it, but it was a plant. And
how do you know it's a plant?
Do you remember E.T. would touch the plants and they would go back?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
not an accident.
Why?
It's a plant.
How do you know this?
Steven Spielberg told me in my office.
Really? Is that true? Starry Messenger is on sale now. Neil deGrasse Tyson, everybody. Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I'm Dr. Naomi Bernstein.
And we want to tell you about Calm the F*** Down, a guided meditation series from the Oversharing podcast. This is something we've been planning for a long time. It's our most requested segment from the podcast. And these meditations are going to be between 5 and 10 minutes. They're going to be super quick because we don't have a lot of time. You're going to be so surprised how 5 to 10 minutes of really thoughtful meditations can transform your whole life. In addition to the first 4 meditations available at launch, we'll be doing 2 new meditations every single month. Plus, for the fans of Oversharing Podcast out there, you'll also get ad-free versions of every episode of the Oversharing Podcast.
So if somebody wants to become a subscriber, how do they join?
It's so easy. You just go to subscribe.betches.com and sign up now for only $4.99 a month. Or you can lock in our discounted rate if you sign up for the whole year. That's subscribe.betches.com. Or if you're in the Apple Podcasts app, you can just hit the subscribe button now and sign up in the app. It's as easy as that.